Hello, and welcome to the Inside the Orange podcast. Welcome back to the Inside the Orange podcast. Firstly, thanks to everyone who listened to last week's episode with Dr. Denny Coates and to Denny himself for coming on and talking about his book, Connect With Your Kid, and his other work that he's doing. If you did miss the episode, there will be links in the description and show notes so you can go back and find them. My guest today is someone that I've known for over 10 years. He gave me my first leadership role in an organisation we worked at. And we've kept in touch since and watched each other's careers kind of grow into different entrepreneurialships. Mine being the podcast and his being the contemporary leader. His name's Chris Webb. And again, it's an amazing feeling to have an interview with someone that you know personally and you've worked with in the professional life. It's a great interview, really open, really honest. And I look forward to you hearing it in just a couple of minutes. Before we get into the episode, though, as always, here's how you can get in touch with the podcast. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at Orange Watts, Orange W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page, or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes. So my guest today is someone that actually gave me my first leadership role in an organisation we worked with and over 10 years ago, which we're both really struggling to believe. He now has gone on to start his work as the contemporary leader. We're both passionate about making sure leaders do right and are the best versions of themselves in the industry. And that's why he's on the podcast today. So I'd like to welcome Chris Webb. Welcome to the podcast. How's your day been so far?
Hi, Richard. Yeah, good to be with you, actually. So unfortunately, it's a bit wet today. We've had that, you know, nice few days of warmth, haven't we? But yeah, the good news is I've got my coffee. I'm ready for the podcast. So yeah, happy days. We'll just let awesome. The rain go on around us, shall we?
Yeah, we shall do. Awesome stuff. So just give people a bit of an introduction about yourself and the idea of the contemporary leader.
Yeah, so as you kind of said in the introduction, we've known each other for a few years, haven't we? So we worked with each other in the big T in Tesco many years ago, which was great. But more recently, what I've done, I've kind of left the corporate world and I set up my own business. So I set up, first of all, Leaders Retail Consultancy, which pretty much, you know, did what it said on the tin. So it was a consultancy based on leadership. And then from that came the Contemporary Leader, which was, in essence, it's a similar thing, but the name changed because it was more marketable. It enabled me to kind of, you know, work towards writing my first book and doing other things within the series. My ambition is to kind of, you know, publish leadership work and kind of use experience that I've kind of had and kind of, you know, badge that under the contemporary leader. I think there's a lot, I mean, obviously there's a lot of, you know, a lot of people talk about leadership. You do, you have a lot of great guests on here. Everyone has a different view on leadership, but I think the thing that I particularly enjoy is, you know, I've kind of grown up and lived through it, and I think my leadership style's definitely changed over the years, and hopefully through the experiences that I've kind of lived through, and you know, I can share that through the work that I do. And the contemporary leader, the name contemporary leader, was very much about what I think. I mean, obviously I'm, you know, I'm not 100% right on everything, but what I think modern leadership looks like in this day and age. You know, like I said, other people have different views, but you know, what does a modern leader look like? What do they, what, you know, what kind of skills do they need? What kind of, you know, strengths do they need? How do they need to kind of show up to be a success?
And that's a really interesting point, because let's go back, you know, 50, 60 years. And again, let's look at the word manager and let's look at the word leader. What someone has been to be kind of an industry leader has changed dramatically in 50 years. And that's still a very short period of time, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, if you look at it, very much in the corporate world, the lines are very, very blurry. So people will say leadership, you know, this is what great leadership looks like. But then there's a lot of managers that are doing managerial jobs that see themselves as leaders or, you know, leadership roles. And the lines are very, very blurry. And when you kind of look at both separately, you actually see, you know, that true leadership is that inspirational, you know, piece that people, you know, kind of look up to and aspire to want to be like, to want to, you know, to want to do, to want to follow, whatever you want to call it, cult following, if you want to kind of badge it under that. And manager is very transactional. It's very, right, I've got to get this done, getting all the troops kind of fired up, ready to kind of go, if you like. So in the corporate world, the lines are very blurry. Coming out of the corporate world, I can kind of see, and looking back, I can kind of see that, you know, there's many days where I thought, yeah, I'm a great leader, where I was a manager, you know, and because that's what, you know, the organization requires of you to get the job done. But, you know, there are also examples of how, you know, leaders can be, you know, fantastic in what they do and still, you know, projectile a company forward. So
for me, so you did give me my first leadership role 10 years ago, my first management role, and I call it a leadership role.
Was it? That long ago, was it, eh?
It was 11 years, if we're being completely accurate. Yeah.
Five flies.
So you did put on it there. Do you think you've changed much in the last 10 years? Because I know I am a completely different person. How have you changed? How would you say you've changed?
Massively changed, Rich. Absolutely massively changed. So if I think back to what I was like as, I want to call it a junior manager, if that's what you want to call it, or, you know, a young store manager, young area manager, whatever it is, you know, you know, back in the day, I don't know whether this is the right kind of word, but I was corporatized, you know, I was kind of like, you know, badged up. You could probably have stamped a T on me or the company I was working for and then kind of gone, right, there you go, off you go. And it's very much a lot along the lines of, you know, following the company mantle, values, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as I've got older, I've realized that all the culture, the values, what the company sets out to do is not always 100% right. You know, not everything is always going to be linking up with the values you personally believe in. So, but back in the day when you first worked for me, then I would kind of think, well, this is how we should do it. So this is how I've got to be. And I think back to my leadership style, it was very probably authoritative. I'd probably guess maybe, you know, into the detail, into the, I wanted to know the ins and outs of everything, didn't I? You can remember that.
So, yeah.
You know, was that, was this, which is good. But, you know, if you're aspiring, in my view, to be that kind of leader that kind of steps back and has that visionary output, then you can't be too much into the minutiae and the detail. And that's kind of what it's taught me really over the years. As I've kind of progressed, I've learned probably more to step back and to switch more into that coaching side and ask the questions. Yeah, yes, it does take longer to get to the answer, but you're developing someone as you're doing it, you know. And, you know, it can get a bit frustrating sometimes, maybe, but you are developing someone and you're kind of, you know, you're moving towards like creating a better future and a better kind of outcome, because the person is probably going to do it off their own back rather than being told to do it. And I think that was kind of where I was at when we first probably met.
You know, look, That's a very honest answer, and I appreciate that, because, you know, sometimes it is hard to kind of look back. But obviously the only person that you are up against in this world is yourself, you know.
Yeah.
You make the decisions that you make for the right of yourself. And at the time, you know, they were the right decisions. We've kept together and kept a great friendship and a great kind of connection with LinkedIn and things like that, because we kind of understand each other. People go through journeys, people go through things, but actually having that honesty and just saying, look, you know, maybe it wasn't the right thing to do, but you wouldn't be where you are now without having to live that journey, would you? So you've got got to embrace it and understand it. And
yeah,
you know, hats off to you. And as I say, we still sit here today. You know, I'm not throwing daggers at you through the screen, and you're not doing it to me. So something's gone wrong.
Yeah. I think the important thing to note as well, Richard, is that there's loads of people on the internet, there's loads of people on LinkedIn that have leadership in their title. They do various different things around, you know, with leadership, you know, whether it's a speaker, whether it's a coach, whatever, I don't know, whatever. I think the important thing to remember is everyone who, when you read someone's profile on LinkedIn, they all look like the expert. They know leadership, you know, this is like the guru of, you know, everything, you know, they know the whole lot. Well, you know, it doesn't start off like that. You know, no one is the finished article, no one is the polished article. You know, someone has to start somewhere. And I think it's, you know, I wanted to share that because, yes, I made mistakes. You know, I made a lot of mistakes. There's ways that I've led my teams and managed my teams I wouldn't do again. There's things I've said I wouldn't say again. There's things I've done I wouldn't do again. But if you don't do that, you don't learn, do you? You don't learn, you don't adapt, you don't change. So for someone to turn up and go, yeah, I'm perfect, I'm a great leader, you know, I'm visionary, yeah, you know, I coach my teams, I ask the right questions, all this kind of stuff, you know, it's a load of rubbish, to be honest. I think, you know, if you haven't been through that, you can't talk about it. And that's why I enjoy doing what I do now, because I feel I've had a bit of experience probably doing it the wrong way, maybe winding people up a little bit in terms of my style in the past, but then understanding why, you know, and doing something about it, and trying then to share my experience later on as I get a bit older and lose more hair.
Well, it doesn't look like you've lost much since I worked with you. That's all I'm going to say.
So, I think the beard's got a bit grey.
So, you know, we're going to get to, there's an interesting point you put there, the word why. We're going to get to that shortly, because you know the podcast, you know who I'm a massive fan of. We will get to that.
Yeah.
But one of the things that you did say in your kind of profile of yourself as a manager was your attention to detail, which I can sit here and categorically agree. Your attention to detail was almost laser focused. You had a RoboCop-esque vision that you could see when something didn't look right. Do you still have that, or have you had to kind of surrender that for the contemporary leader? How does that?
I think I've still got it. I think you would probably say, probably the best word to describe it is it's diluted. I think the previous corporate role I had before I started my own business, I think I had to dilute it a lot more to get the best out of my team. And I learned that by obviously everything I'd done in the past. So, you know, working in retail, you've got to have an eye for detail. You know, it's an old adage, isn't it? Retail is detail.
Yeah.
Well, it is true, but you can be over the top and you can be too far the other way. You've got to find that perfect balance, really. You know, you've got to flip your style. You know, you've got to use that situational leadership, because if you sit too much in the coaching style, you could potentially wait too long. You know, business is quite fast paced. Whereas if you go too far to maybe an autocratic style, you know, you're going to turn everybody off and people are not going to follow you. So, you know, what I've learned over the years is you've got to be able to flip, and you've got to be intelligent enough to understand when to use the right style and when to turn it on, when to turn it off. You know, and I think that's kind of what I've done with the detail, really, you know, when to kind of really turn it on and when to turn it off. You know, I think if you're going to go into work in the morning and you genuinely know, because I know we've probably had these conversations in the past, but your night team's done the best they can, they've worked really, really hard, and then you're going to go and find like five missing labels, you're probably on a different planet. And I know I used to do that back in the day, but you know, but you're probably on a bit of a different planet, because actually they work really hard for you. Are they really going to want to listen to that? No, they're not. So I think you learn, don't you? You learn through the years. So, you know, understand when it's the right time to do it and when it's not. And that's kind of what I've learned, I think.
No, and again, I appreciate the honesty. And again, this wasn't a thing of, right, I've got him 10 years later, let's put him to the cut, let's put him on the cuff. No, it's really important. It's really nice to hear you develop your growth. And obviously that leads us to the contemporary leader. So there is eventually going to be a book, isn't there? That's in the process of writing. So let's get on to now. So tell us about the book. What can we expect from your work?
Yeah, I mean, what I thought about first of all when I started the contemporary leader was writing, you know, a full book around fundamentally what I see as modern leadership. That's kind of developed more into an ebook and a series of ebooks. So the first one I'm working on at the moment is what I call like the foundation of leadership. So it kind of links into a little bit around why we do stuff. but you know, it's kind of, you know, focusing more on emotional intelligence, self-awareness, you know, kind of, you know, I remember someone saying to me years ago, you can't lead a team without truly understanding yourself first, you know, and that's what it kind of hones in on, you know, actually, how do you get yourself match fit, if you want a footballing analogy, how do you get yourself match fit before you then go along and, you know, try and lead a team of people? And the first book is kind of like tailored to that. It's kind of like the foundation of leadership, you know, what it takes for you to go do it. It's almost like you've got to have this. You've got to graduate before you can go and lead some people. And hopefully the kind of experiences, stories and bits that I'm putting in there can kind of resonate with people. And again, like, you know, like we've discussed, I'm going to use real life examples. So things that I've done, you know, things that I've done or other people have done that have worked with me or for me or I've worked for that have been great or probably not so great, you know. So again, people can see, you know, how things probably could work for them and probably see how not to do things. So I think by sharing those probably will, you know, help people and they can kind of resonate with that.
No. I really like that. And most importantly, you said something that just shows why you're a great guest for the podcast. You have to understand yourself first. You do have to understand who you are before you try and lead someone else. And that's exactly the idea of this podcast, is understanding yourself. I struggled myself with leadership and understanding where I fit in with leadership and what my style was. You know, as you know, I've got a very extrovert style when I lead. I'm very, very loud. you've seen it. But obviously I had to learn that. So what was the most challenging part of leadership? Not just potentially yourself, but what is the most challenging part that you see people struggle with in leadership? Is it understand themselves first or is there something else?
Well, that's a good question. I think it is understanding themselves. I think the hardest bit really is probably understanding themselves and what their true values are. What do you stand for as a leader? Because you know, when you go and work for a big corporate, you will be told, you know, in so many words, what to do and when to do it, which is totally understandable. You know, big companies need to make a lot of money. They need to please shareholders. You know, they want their value. So they are going to do that. But I think what you'll find with a lot, you know, probably especially retailers, I can talk about retail with experience, but what you find with a lot of retailers is you'll get a lot of corporate clones. So you'll get a lot of people that are towing the company line, towing the company values, and all of a sudden they will do, you know, what they're told and what they think is right based on what they've seen before. Now, if what they've seen before is not that great, then it kind of breeds something that isn't that great. And it takes someone to kind of stand out from that and say, hold on, this is kind of probably not right how we're doing this, or not right how we're looking after our people, or not right how we're speaking to people, or so on and so forth. And don't get me wrong, it's not easy, because you've got loads of people that are, you know, as I call it, towing that corporate line, doing that thing, following that clone, if you like. It's not easy to kind of break away from that and go, actually, I think we should do it this way. Because a lot of people look at you and go, well, what planet is he on, you know, or she on? So it's difficult and it's hard. And I've learned that. And I probably kind of tore away from the corporate clone, as I call it, more in my last role. And, you know, I went into work rather think, you know, so before I probably went into work thinking, right, got to get this done, got to get that done, got to deliver, you know, deliver, deliver, deliver. I think, you know, I went into work saying, I've got to deliver, got to deliver the results. But it was more along the lines of people first. Right. What's right for my team? What's right for the people? You know, and sometimes, you know, unfortunately, that did clash with my boss, that did clash with other bosses. But then I kind of thought to myself, what are my values? What do I believe in? This doesn't seem right to what I believe in. And I'd never done that before. Maybe it's because of, I don't know, lack of experience. Before, I always went with, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I thought, I didn't kind of think of the consequence, if you see what I mean. Whereas more recently, it's, no, you know, it doesn't sit with my values, so I'm going to do it this way. And yeah, you know, you have to be prepared for the consequence of that. You have to be prepared to stand out. You have to be prepared to defend yourself if you're going to go in tune with your own values. But that is definitely the hardest thing when I'm looking at through corporate leadership. People are kind of, you know, being led to do what is right. You know, to break away from that is massively difficult. You know.
Yeah, and I think you've hit a really good point there as well. I mean, I think we get to that point where, and you've said in the corporate world that you've got to toe the line, and then you start going against your own values. You start to think, actually, no, this isn't for me. And I think that's quite a big leadership journey as well, isn't it? When you start thinking, yeah, actually, no, I don't want to toe this line. Actually,
yeah,
I believe in here. And you can't turn that off. You can turn off a corporate because you can go and work for another company, but you can't turn off what's in there. Is that fair?
No, you're right. You're right. And I think the thing is, people will have values. People will agree or disagree, because what you hear is, you know, and I used to hear this a lot of store managers, and I was part of it as well. So, you know, there might be something said or something done, and you'd have a conversation with your mate down the road and you'd whine about it or whinge about it, which is, do you know what I mean? That is your inner values and inner compass going, I don't really agree with this, but I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm just going to do it. And, you know, don't get me wrong. What I'm not saying is you go out there and you be a maverick and you just get the rule book, rip it up and just do whatever you want, because that's not what it's about. It's fundamentally about doing the right thing for the people that you lead, you know. I do honestly think as well, Rich, that a lot of senior leaders, directors, executives have got more to do. I think they need to take more onus, because I don't think they take this seriously, which doesn't help, you know, people like ourselves in the corporate world. You know, I think there's more that people can do to kind of, you know, role model it, if you like. And it doesn't happen a lot, especially out of all the retailers. There's probably one person that I thought done it well, but currently there isn't many that do and role model true leadership through their teams. You know, don't get me wrong, they'll say it and they'll give you courses and they'll teach you on, you know, what great leadership looks like. But when, you know, the chips are down, it doesn't happen.
And you just touched on it there, as you said, there are some people that did it well. So who do you rate as the best leader that there has been or is still out there? Are you happy to throw that name?
Yeah, out? Yeah. Well, I'll talk about him now. So I think the best leader I've ever worked for, and you'll know this guy, is Sir Terry Leahy. And he is, in my own opinion, he kind of like epitomizes everything that I've kind of just, the opposite of just what I've just said, you know. So in terms of being a great leader, you know, when he led Tesco back, what, 10, 12 years ago, whenever it was, the guy was great. But the reason the guy was great was, if I think back to a visit, you know, when we was in Milton Keynes together, he visited us just before Christmas. I think it might have been the time when he brought Dobby's Garden Centre, because I remember getting the phone call and someone saying, Terry's reading the newspaper at the front. I went, oh, okay, I better go to see him. So I went down to see him. And he, first of all, he wanted to look at some adverts that he'd paid for, and he didn't think they were great. And he asked my opinion. And then he just said, oh, by the way, I brought a garden centre, as you do. And but the experience, the visit, walking around the shop floor was like, I'd never experienced it before, ever. You know, it was very much that, tell me about this. He said to me, how's your business? You know, and I'm like, well, it's your business. No, how's your business? Talk me through your business. You know, is there anything that I can help you with? And I wasn't used to this, style of questioning from a senior leader, well, from the boss, you know, from the big boss. And it was refreshing. But I think that was great. But the thing that really hit the nail on the head for me was, bearing in mind, he'd probably met me a couple of times in store. I then saw him on a couple of occasions when he'd left Tesco and I'd left Tesco. I saw him once in Heathrow Airport. I think I was going on holiday and he was coming back from somewhere. And he obviously didn't remember my name, but he remembered me and acknowledged me, which I thought was great because he didn't have to. And then when I was working for another business, I was doing a one-to-one, as you know, I like one-to-ones, in a coffee shop, you know, I like coffee as well. So, and he turned up and he looked at me as if to say, I recognize you, looked at me again, and then come over and had a chat. And I just thought, you know, it's that kind of, that personal kind of, you know, I know this guy, I don't really know who he is, but I'm going to go and say hello, which I thought was fantastic. And I've never experienced that. I've met a lot of senior leaders, met a lot of directors, never felt like that. And because of that, even though I don't work for him and haven't seen him for years, I still feel loyalty to him. So, you know, if he was to phone me up today and ask me, would I do this, that, or the other, I'd probably go, yeah, absolutely. I'd support you with it, you know.
Yes.
But it's all those skills, isn't it? As a great leader, when you think about it, you know, he remembered me as a person, very humble, very down to earth. You know, he didn't kind of show up on the fact that he was, you know, the CEO of Tesco. It just was great. And people, as you remember, Tesco, I think at the time he was running it, got to about second or third biggest in the world, didn't it? It was, you know, and people would follow. So he was probably the best example that I could share of someone that, you know, I'd follow, and the reasons why.
And I think you kind of alluded to it. Think how many people he met when he worked, you know, and this is before, obviously, you know, the first economic crisis. So when there was still a lot of people working in the business and a lot of man, you know, he met a lot of people, but to even acknowledge that and remember, that is a skill, isn't it? And that's something we all want.
Yeah, it is. It is. The thing is, it's the one key thing I've learned over the years is it's all about people. And you probably think, well, why didn't you learn that like when you first started? Well, I did. But the thing is, you don't realize it until you really realize it, if that makes sense. You know, leadership is about people. It's about, you know, it's about the people you serve, your customer, and it's the people that you lead, your teams. And it's as simple as that, you know. And if you look after them, and it's real simple stuff, but if you look after them, you know, you make sure they got something to eat, you make sure they're happy, you talk to them, you look after their well-being, their mental health, et cetera, the list goes on. But if you look after those key things, then you're going to be successful. And if I could, that's probably the most simplistic way I could describe it. But if you start thinking of people first, you're not going to go far wrong.
That's a fantastic point to finish on, like to finish that part of the segment on, and I totally agree, honestly. I could talk to you for ages, and we've still got a bit more to cover. We reconnected properly. You listened to podcasts, which I'm over the moon. You actually sent me a message when I finished season two and went, what am I going to listen to now? Which I tell people every time I'm asked, why do you podcast? I give that as a reason now. I say, when people message and say, what am I going to listen to at the gym? I'm your gym buddy. I'm spotting you when
you are. Yeah,
realizing it's chubby old dude. but we really have a kind of connection. And what I liked with your LinkedIn stuff was through Simon Sinek, however you pronounce it. I talk about him for days on here. You mentioned why earlier. Why does he resonate with you?
I think the beauty of Simon, I think, has a couple of things really. Is he's wrote quite a bit of decent stuff. So, you know, when you read his books, you can really resonate with it. And I think, you know, again, when you read it, there's a lot of experience and stories in there, isn't there? You know, so when he writes a lot of stuff and kind of, you know, explains it in a lot of detail. Whereas a lot of people in, you know, when they're writing, when they've done similar types of things, don't do that to the level he does. I think the other thing that kind of was great to see, I saw him live in London. I thought he was fantastic. The way he kind of engaged the audience was unbelievable. And again, it's, you know, he knows how to kind of talk to people. He knows how to talk to an audience. And again, he knows how to kind of get the best out of people. And, you know, I just love that. I just love listening to him. I like listening to examples. You know, he's very down to earth, very funny. But actually the message and the points he was putting across was, too truly resonated with me. I think the thing is, he is very deep in what he does. He wants to understand why things happen and why people do stuff, you know, which is brilliant, isn't it? You know, you're not going to be able to get to the root cause of something if you don't know why. So, and I think that's kind of where it all started for with me, you know, and just, you know, simply looking at the golden circle, it was just totally resonates.
And as I say, you know, massive, massive fan of him here, and I've read his books as well. And I find it interesting with him when I looked at reviews, people had reviewed the book, and one of the biggest standouts that I see from negative reviews of him is that it's people saying, oh, but Simon, you haven't kind of explained this. And it's like people want the answer. People want him to give them the answers. When actually the answer is, no, understand. Like we talked about early on, understand why. Mm. Understand yourself why first. Yeah. This is why I'm sitting here on the podcast. This is why you've got the contemporary leader. But I still think there's that essence that people think, no, I need to read a self-help book. And I need him to tell me, list me 10 points of how I'm going to be better tomorrow. Is that fair?
Well, that's exactly what we spoke about at the start, isn't it? That's the transactional managerial side. You know, tell me what to do and when to do it. Tell me when to go for my tea break and I'll go. Tell me when I need to do this and I'll go and do it. Whereas actually understanding the why is understanding yourself fundamentally, isn't it? So, you know, I've been inspired. That's what, you know, part of Simon's work has inspired the contemporary leader. You know, the reason why I've started with the foundation of leadership first is you've got to understand yourself. You've got to understand what's going on. You know, the reason why I changed as a leader from the early leader that I was understanding myself, my values, what I believe in. I kind of realized that, you know, people are absolutely important to what I do. So a lot of that stuff is, someone hasn't gone to me, Chris, you need to go and do that. You need to understand yourself. You need to have your own set of values. I might read it in a book and say, it'd be good to have your own set of values to go by. But I've kind of got there myself by reading things that's kind of provoked some thought and an opinion, really. And that's what he does. He kind of encourages you to think for yourself and, you know, draw your own conclusions. So, you know, and like with anything, people will write books, Simon will write books, I'll write a book. Some people will love it, some people will hate it. It's just how it is. You know, someone will read my book and throw it in the bin and say it's a load of rubbish. You know, others will read it and hopefully be more that read it and say it's great. But, you know, people have, and that's the beauty of us all as human beings. We all have opinions. We all have ideas. We all have thoughts, you know. My opinion is Terry is the best leader I've worked for. That won't be the same as someone else. Someone will say, no, he's not. But that's the beauty of us as a human race. We have opinions, views, and beliefs, don't we?
Absolutely. And there was an opinion that we did speak about briefly before we come on there, and it's an opinion I want you to have. Now, you're a Manchester United fan. Now, you have been through Alex Ferguson, the Alex Ferguson times, the transitional period, shall we call it, and now the new era. Now, as of time of recording, you've signed Cristiano Ronaldo. He's had a debut. He scored two goals. He is the epitome of a leader on a football pitch.
Yeah.
My question, I asked you at the beginning, and I had a little. You've had a bit of time to think about it. So my question is, if he joins during the period where Manchester United were at their lowest in this last, you know, say 10 years ago, or just out, just, sorry, five, six years ago, does he have the impact, or does he get lost as a leader in the kind of middle ground? Does he make a difference, or is that why they've signed him now? Let's see your thoughts on that.
Interested. I mean, I don't know. We could be. I could be saying today, yes, it's going to be fantastic, going to win the league and the Champions League and everything, and then 2 months later is terrible. I don't know. But all I can go on is what I've seen. And I think what I like, when I was watching Match of the Day the other night, what I like was how he shown up, you know, how he was. As you know, because what you got to remember is he's a fantastic footballer, but he's getting older and you can see his leadership qualities coming out. So even like when he's going onto the pitch, he's beaming, he's smiling, the crowd are going mad. He's kind of working the crowd, isn't he? He's working the players as well. And you're reading various things in the press as well around, you know, I think I read yesterday he's not having dessert or something or after a meal, and none of the other players had dessert. So I think it could be that positive sort of thing where people are feeding off his leadership skills and his qualities, and it might help the younger players of the squad kind of flourish. You know, will he be the same as what he was when he first was at Man United? I don't know, probably not. He's probably getting too old for that. I don't know. He may be brilliant. I'm not sure. But he's going to have an impact. And that's what great leaders do. They have an impact. They have a gravitas. They have an aura. You know, they know how to kind of work the crowd. They know how to kind of, you know, show up when they're being interviewed. It's just all little tiny things that all point to the right direction. You know, how he's, all the pictures of him in the press, how he's smiling and the way he's holding himself, his confidence. And, you know, when you look at the background behind him, you just see the crowd going wild because he's working them. And it's, you can kind of, you know, transmit those qualities into any walk of life, really, can't you? Someone who is a successful leader, you know, will work the teams, will kind of, you know, will fire them up to kind of, you know, do things they probably wouldn't have done before. You never know. He might, if he does get injured or something might happen, the team still might do really, really well because he'll be there watching them and part of the scene. So, and what you got to remember, as a great leader, it's not all about the leader leading from the front and doing it all, is it? It can be about them showing up but standing back and giving them direction. So, interesting. We'll see what happens. I'll probably get relegated.
So I did say the part of the question was, would it have made a difference if he signed in the middle? But do you think that's where Man United have done well with the transfer, is actually this is the right time to have him? Maybe 5 years ago wouldn't have been the right time for Ronaldo, come and solve our problems. Is it a good piece of business by United then that they've actually signed him when he's at his probably best for leadership value?
Yeah, I think so. And I think this will be his last club as well. So he's not going to want to go out on a low, is he? You know, Ronaldo is, you know, he's just so careful at everything in terms of like his fitness, his what he eats, everything he does. So he's not going to want to go out under a cloud. He's going to want to go out with like fireworks. So he's thought about this carefully. He, you know, you don't go somewhere. Someone like him doesn't go somewhere to do nothing. He's gone there to win stuff. So I think it's quite a shrewd move and quite an interesting one. So yeah, I think definitely something to watch.
No, I always find it so frustrating and hard to think that he's the same age as me and he looks like he's been sculpted, and I just look like I'm the leftover clay of what made Ronaldo. Like literally, just that will make that as well. You know, and that's me. When you see this chiseled 36 year old, and then you see this dumpy little 36 year old, You know, that's where the universe works, mate. That's the yin and the yang.
Well, that's it. I mean, that takes commitment, doesn't it? Because, I mean, you know, I've been going to the gym for years, but, you know, I'm getting on now over my 40s, and it's hard work as you get older to try and keep in shape. So, you know, it gets even harder. So for him to kind of still keep that is, you know, you just show he's got a determination and he's very, very clear on what he wants to do. So, you know, that'll take him a long, long way, definitely.
No, definitely. So a couple of questions left. So I want to kind of take you back. So you are the contemporary leader. So you are, and from the retail consultant, sorry, the leadership consultancy, you are asked to help you whenever you want from a period of time that you would have found that you would have wanted that help. Yep. What do you say to your younger version of yourself? If you could sit here now with all those years of experience above you, how do you help you X amount of years ago?
I think if I was to talk to the younger version of myself, it would be pretty much like I said earlier, you know, be yourself, be you. Know what your values are, know what you stand for, and do the right thing. You know, there's times where in my younger days, I've probably done what I think people want me to do. Whereas very recently, I do what I think's right for my team and my people and the people that I serve. So that would be it. And, you know, I'm hoping that the contemporary leader can be helpful to, you know, to a whole range of leaders, whether it's someone that's been a leader for years or someone that's just starting out. But I think what I'm trying to kind of achieve with it is that kind of thing. You know, be yourself, do the right thing. Do the right thing for your team. And, you know, then you will be successful. Definitely.
Awesome. Great answer. And where do you want to be in 5, 10, 15 years? And the contemporary leader, where is it?
I think it's... I enjoy doing what I do now. I enjoy writing about leadership. I enjoy experience sharing. You know, when I first started out with the business, I wanted to be I wanted to kind of go more along the lines of executive coaching. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy coaching people, but I enjoy probably writing more. So I think as I progress, you know, in the next few years, I want to be really, really good in that space. You know, be recognised that, you know, I write decent books, leadership books, decent articles, and so on and so forth. And I suppose for me, if I do that, then I'm going to be happy because I know I enjoy doing that. And that's what I'm looking for, really. You know, if I can pass on experience and skills that I've learned to other people and they can use it and it helps them, then so be it, you know.
That's good. Again, great answer there as well. So for people to find you, so where can they find you? Where can they find your work? And yep. Obviously all the links and everything will be in the description of the show notes as well. So, yep. So help.
Oh, absolutely.
Where do you want people to go?
Yeah, so the website is thecontemporaryleader.com. So it's all one word. And on there, you can see, obviously, what I do, a little bit more about me as a person and what I do and what I offer. You'll also see the latest articles that I've written on there. But you'll also see links to the first book when it appears. So I haven't got a finalized date yet of when that's going to be launched. It will be before Christmas. It'll be available on Amazon as well. I was going to say all good bookstores as well. I hope so. But if you go to thecontemporaryleader.com, you'll see everything that I do on there.
Awesome stuff. Chris, just today, I just want to say a massive thank you for you to come and talk to us. It's been fantastic good. To see you, and it's lovely to see or to share the journey with you from knowing you forever. So I always say this to my guests, if there's more to talk about, come back and talk, and we'll do it again sometimes.
No, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Maybe when I've got the first few books off the ground, then we can have a chat about them. But yeah, I've enjoyed it, Rich. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Well, enjoy your day, bud. A massive thank you there to Chris for coming on and talking about the contemporary leader. I'm really excited about the work he's going to be bringing out and the books. And if you do want to find any of that, it will be links in the description and show notes for you to go and find Chris. The next episode we're going to be talking about is the finale. Now, at time of recording this, I'm not going to give anything away. It is a finale, which means they're normally my end episodes and they normally come with a little surprise or a secret and something that's important to me. So there's no interview next week necessarily, but there is going to be, as always, the episode 14, Inside the Orange, season finale. So until then, goodbye and take care. And as always, just listen here for how you can get in touch with the podcast once more. To get in touch with the podcast, you can find us at insidetheorange.co.uk. You can email us at insidethisorange@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at orangewhats, orange W-H-A-T-S. On Instagram, Inside the Orange. On the Inside the Orange podcast Facebook page, or you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Richard Stevens, motivational speaker and creator of the Inside the Orange. All these links will be available in the description and show notes.